Hello, everybody. Welcome in the green room. I'm Chet.
Welcome to In the Green Room. I'm Kinga.
I'm Richard.
Welcome Yay. Back.
Thank you.
It's always fun when you're in the green room.
Thank you. It's fun to be here. Back from France, Spain. But today we're talking about France.
That's right. He's the world traveler.
Very well traveled. What was your favorite thing about France right off the bat?
Good question.
Well, let's talk about where I was in France, which was Provence, which is a very special area of France. I think that a lot of people, you know, have been to Provence. They would say that, yeah, Provence is, I mean, this guy.
Geographically, Peter, is it southwest,
yeah,
north?
So it's south of the Rhone Valley. So mm-hmm. the Rhone River runs down through it all the way to the Mediterranean. So it's, you know, the southern part of Provence is the Mediterranean Ocean, the Mediterranean mm-hmm. Sea, right? It's beautiful. That's where Nice is. And
that's the famous south coast of France.
Yes, it is. The so-called, what do they call it? Anyway.
I know all the, like, you know, models and fashionistas and all that stuff are supposed to go yachting over there. So.
But Provence itself is a huge geographic area, and it goes all the way up to the Alps. At one
part. It borders
Switzerland? Yeah. And the part that I was in was fairly close to the Mediterranean. The Luberon Mountains run through that area. Most of the really touristy areas go from the Mediterranean right straight up the middle mm-hmm. towards the Rhone, southern Rhone Valley.
So it sounds like you were not in a touristy area, though.
Well, no, actually I was.
Oh, okay.
But here's the thing.
I mean, not Paris touristy, though.
No. Yeah.
This is all, you know, with there are some fairly large lists. Aix is a fairly large city, very close to the Mediterranean. This is an area that's primarily rural mm-hmm. and agricultural, right? The villages are tiny villages that, you know, are from the 12th and 13th century. Mm-hmm. And I was in a village called Lourmarin, L-O-U-R-M-A-R-I-N.
Lourmarin.
Lourmarin. And that is one of the most popular villages. There's a lot of commerce there. A lot of shops and restaurants and all these tiny spaces are converted into these really cool shops. But it's still a very, very old village. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the, you know, so this is kind of a center. And then there's many villages within, you know, a few kilometers either way, which you go to. Mm-hmm. The one thing I love is every village, every day of the week, you can find a village nearby that has a market, outdoor market.
Very so very cool. sustainable. It's all about
the
local.
The outdoor markets are amazing. And the food there, it is.
It's,
you know, this guy Peter Mayles years ago wrote that book, you know, A Year in Provence, and got very famous, made a lot of money from it, right? And he wrote this about an area of Provence that was close to where I was in Lourmarin. But then when he made a lot of money, he moved to Lourmarin.
So is that book one of the things that drew you to that area then?
Not in particular. I went to that area, and my sister and I went together because we have a very close friend who's living in Provence now. She's been there, I think, living there about 5 years. She's American, and she's married to a Frenchman. And she's been there.
And it's kind of a cute story because isn't it somebody she went to school with?
Oh, yeah. And this goes way back like 40 years, you know, when she was a year abroad in France and met this guy. They fell madly in love, you know, and then she came home. And
they both got married to somebody else.
Yeah, and they had children, you know, and like 30 years later.
They rekindled it?
He looks her up on Facebook. You know, they had been in touch kind of, but lost touch, and then he kind of looked her up on Facebook, and now they're married and living in Provence.
Very cool.
Isn't that cool?
And this that worked well for
this
her
is why,
to France.
So here's a funny thing. So her name is Laurie Howard, and she's a good friend of my sister and I from Phoenix here. And she's been there now for 5 years, and she, you know, it's just like Provence is this kind of a place where you wake up every day and you say, pinch me, am I dreaming? Right?
Sounds so relaxing.
Oh, it is. Now she has a business called Pinch Me Provence. She's an amazing tour guide. I mean, amazing. She has only been there 5 years, but she knows more about the history everywhere you go and has more connections. She's that kind of person that just develops connections, kind of like you.
Very
everywhere
social,
she goes,
yeah.
She talks to people and, you know, and amazing. So if you ever go to Provence, you want to contact Laurie Howard and her company and look it up. Google Prince Pinch Me Provence, because she'll show you the real Provence, not the touristy Provence.
So it sounds like a really good area to visit if you want to see the culture of like the small towns in France.
It is. This is what really affected me the most, the lifestyle there, you know, to the point where I was there for a full week and, you know, going to little villages every day and different things with Laurie and my sister. And, you know, the experience was really, I would say, transformative.
How so?
Well, to the point where I was, you know, I didn't want to go home. You know, I mean,
there really is another gear that they run on over there. There's just such a bigger priority on enjoying life and enjoying the day, and then work and the rat race is second. Versus
and
here, that's totally flipped.
Very relaxed. Yeah. People live a relaxed lifestyle. They eat healthy food. I mean, so, you know, my friend Lori, she, you know, there's a place she goes to the goat farm to get her fresh goat yogurt, which I had every day. She goes to another farm to get other cheeses. She goes to another farm to get vegetables. In addition, just going to the markets would have a lot of fresh vegetables and all kinds of other things for sale, right? Mm-hmm. Including prepared food and meats and cheeses. I mean, it's incredible. These markets are amazing. But it's just that lifestyle and having that food that is so fresh, and most of it, you know, is farmed very sustainably, very organic.
Well, that's important to us.
Well,
this is our show. We're saving the planet.
One show at a time.
And we care about the sustainability. And I've been trying to mention that.
Small farm operations and farm-to-table cultures like that are way more sustainable. And a lot of the times, very organic, like you were saying.
Yeah, and so, you know.
And the wines are delicious. What are we drinking here?
So, you know, Provence is famous for wine. There are vineyards everywhere. It's an agricultural area. Vineyards, olive trees, fig trees, you know, fig orchards, all kinds of farms. But and of course, Provence is best known for their rosé, which we had drinking right here. This is
which one is this?
This is from Canon, J.L. Canon, which and it's called Côte de Provence. Which is a region, Provence is broken down in wine about 9 different regions, distinctive regions. And so this is one of the most popular wines at Trader Joe's. It's under $10. And there's a reason that Provence rosés are so popular. They're dry, they have marvelous fruit. This particular one is a blend of Grenache and Sansot, and the two red grapes, and it may have, like the next one will look nice, it may have a little a white wine in it too. Sometimes they add white wine to it. But this is a delicious wine. It's under
delicious.
$10 at Trader Joe's and very popular. Now,
we bought wines from different, all from Provence, but from different stores, and two of them are local.
Yeah.
And those are more expensive.
One is Trader Joe's, which, you know, you can't beat them for value.
Well, they're local to Provence. They're not local to Arizona.
No, local to Provence.
Yeah.
But two little wine stores that are local to Arizona that have wines of the world. Atlas Bistro. And what was the other one called?
Atlas Wines.
Atlas Wines.
Bistro, and Faraway Wines. A new wine bar, retail, and interesting place called Faraway Wine and Provisions.
And it just opened up on Friday, and it's right there off
of like... Two people that I've known in the wine business, Chris French and Pat Jasmine, have been in the wine business here for decades. They are real pros, and they finally opened this lovely little wine bar and retail space, and it's just, you were there.
It was outstanding. They have great food and great service and great wines and really remarkable.
Back to Provence wine. You know, they also make whites and reds. We'll have a red. I couldn't even find a Provence white. They're not, you know, that's the least. But 70% of the wines produced in Provence are rosé. Rosé.
Rosé.
Okay, rosé.
Rosé.
Wait.
It's so good. I'd like a little...
Well, we can taste the next one, or you want to go have some more of this? Help yourself.
I'll have more of this one. It's so good.
Just don't clink my glass.
Actually, I will be more gentle. I'm not going to go into the details.
Now, the cheese that we're having with this lovely rosé is a Saint-André, a triple cream cheese, and it is like butter. It's so rich. It's just delicious.
It is like butter.
Right?
Yeah, very smooth.
Do you want another cracker chip?
I'm okay right now. I think so.
The crackers are fig and olive.
No. Now, this particular winery, the grapes are from Provence, but I read that the winery is actually a little bit farther north, just a touch, because in Beaujolais.
Beaujolais
is the southernmost part of Burgundy. All right? And then you have, so Provence, is, you know, you have the Rhone Valley, you have Burgundy, they're all kind of, you know, connected.
One question I have is, so I went to Paris back in 2019, and it was probably the only place on my Europe trip where I got a little bit of that stereotype of, you know, people not really loving the tourists. You know, I would try to, I would obviously try in French first, but I wasn't, I've never spoke French officially, and I wasn't very good at it. And so some people, you know, would be happy that I tried. Some people would be like, you know, kind of rude and like,
speak English,
speak French properly, you know yeah, what I mean, right. Like that whole stereotype. In general, people are still nice in Paris, but I was wondering what kind of vibes you got in the Provence region.
In the rural areas, it's very different than the big cities like Paris.
They're
very
probably way more inviting because they love having the tourist dollars there, right?
Well,
here's
the other thing. A lot of the tourists in Provence are French.
Yeah.
They're from different parts of the country.
Yeah.
They go to Provence because it's so cool and it's so beautiful there, you know. And there are lots of beautiful places in France. But so a lot of the tourists, you know, are from the EU and including France.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, there's Australians and Americans and Canadians, English speakers and people from England. It's a very popular place to vacation.
But in general, I would say that stereotype wasn't really a big deal. Like, if anybody's intimidated traveling abroad, don't be. Just be respectful, be nice to the culture, and they're going to probably return that. And
the one thing that in the more rural areas, in the small villages, less people speak much English, okay? But they're, you know, you can communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you learn just a little bit of French, the basics, you know.
Get on Rosetta Stone.
Just be polite, you know, that's all. And smile a lot.
Actually, people don't know that Richard's new plan is to learn a little French and go to France and meet a woman.
Well, who knows? You know, you know, this is when I say that being in Provence was transformative to the point where I contemplate, I still am. You can go to France for 3 months without a visa. And I said, man, I would love to spend 3 months in Provence, total immersion. Get a French teacher, you know, and learn the language and just live at that pace and that lifestyle for 3 months and really just experience it.
That'd be amazing. It'd be kind of like almost like a meditative experience, and you'd be learning. So
and it's doable.
Yeah.
You know, I asked my friend Laurie, and of course, now that I have a good friend there, she's got so many connections. She can help me set up a place to live, blah, blah, this and that. You know, and I think the 3 months would go fast. But she said, "Yeah, you get yourself a French teacher. You every day, you have a
Does Lori speak French?
Fluently, like you wouldn't know she's not French. I mean, she, you know.
And did she learn it? Did she already know it before she met her husband?
She's known it for years.
Okay.
She went to France in college and started learning, and she's kept up with it. So she speaks like a native practically.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One thing I would say, I would love Richard's spirit of adventure and love to travel. You know, a lot of people that are I don't know if we want to say Richard's age, but in their 70s aren't as fun and exciting as you. And you're still out there traveling the world. It's really inspiring because, you know, a lot of people that are your age are stuck in an old folks' home somewhere, not even going out and being independent. And you're the opposite. You're out there seeing the world, still learning, you know, getting more cultured.
It's
so.
The wine, my friend. The wine, the vino.
Wine is his secret for,
you know,
all those.
I have been, as you know, I have been a wine professional for decades.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
You know,
he's all about
when
wine.
You enjoy every day, it makes
also,
you excited about, you know, life.
I'm
and
also,
he's also about hiking. He's
I'm
all
also a professional wino. You know, so.
And he's also a hiker.
I start every day with a hike in the North Phoenix Mountain Preserve.
Yep.
It's fantastic. It's a great way to start the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
and then I do want to tell his secret. You do have a smoothie you make every day that he puts.
Listen, don't even get started on the supplements I take. But let's get back to Provence because it's the lifestyle there that people age well. You know, they talk about the French paradox. You've heard this for decades. How come these people eat all these rich cheeses and blah, blah, blah?
All the butter.
And the butter. Croissant. And, you know, you don't see obese people. You know, 70% of the population like here is not walking around obese. It's the lifestyle.
100%.
It's the wine. It's all, you know, in France, as in Italy or Spain, wine is literally a food group. It's on the table, at lunch, at dinner, and people drink it with food. You know, and that's their lifestyle.
But also, well, it's really, also the portions are not too big. But the portions aren't ginormous.
Reflection on that, it's a part of the culture, though, because here we're in such a hurry. It's such a sped-up rat race. Everybody's just go, 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 drink, 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 chug, chug, chug. There, it's everything slowed down. It's more enjoy, taste this, you know.
Yeah. Look at me, I'm eating all this cheese.
Wine, though, has become a major part of our culture in the United States in the last 30 years, no question about it. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
And people enjoy wine. They drink it with meals. But I
We specifically support the local wineries, the smaller ones here, like Pillsbury Wine that we had on the show just last week.
Last week we had Sam Pillsbury. His wines are so delicious.
And those small wineries and vineyards, those are the ones that are doing it right and making good, high-quality wines. The big corporations, you know, this, Yellowtail, that's not real wine.
This wine, for instance, this is a large production facility. You know, I mean, they sell at Trader Joe's, which there are over 300 stores. So it's large production. But the quality is really good. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other thing in Provence and France in general. Do you hear the word bio? B-I-O, which means organic. Mm-hmm. Everything. You go to the stores, bio. Mm-hmm. There's a whole sections of bio. Mm-hmm. And most of the vineyards, many of the vineyards are either very sustainably farmed or actually a certified bio. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Large production.
I doubt that this one is, but the next two wines we have are. Mm-hmm.
So hold on. The one that you said is larger production, this one.
Well, just to clarify.
How many wines would you say are made a year?
How many cases?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. Okay. But just to clarify, large production doesn't necessarily mean bad.
No,
like,
no.
That could still be owned by one French family, and they've just grown into that big company, and they're doing amazing. We're
kind
of more saying Franzia owns a bunch of different vineyards all throughout the United States, and those are the ones, like, you could probably avoid those.
They're making and exporting a couple million bottles of a very nice Provence rosé that is
delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
Delicious.
So we love this
one. Taste the next one.
Let's taste the next one.
Oh, wait, I need to finish the last one, I guess.
Or you can dump.
Okay, yeah. I'll dump because I have to drive.
Oh, really?
There you go.
There's that.
Leave it up here.
Good idea.
No, we're down here.
All right. He's ready.
That was very good, though. Just to recap, it was Côte de Provence.
Côte de Provence.
And that was the lesser expensive one. And that last one was from Trader Joe's.
This is another
rosé. Now we're drinking
from... This is another rosé from Provence. Now, this has an amazing pedigree, which I'll tell you about in a moment.
Mm-hmm. And this is still Provence. I think Colin needs some.
Absolutely.
Our sound engineer. Thank you, Colin.
He loves the wine episodes.
I think he does.
This is called Truyan. And this has an amazing pedigree. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Two of Burgundy's greatest names, Jacques Cessé, founder of Domaine du Jacques, and Aubert de Valin, co-owner of Domaine de la Romane Conti, the most expensive Burgundy in the world, are the partners behind this company. This,
really?
This pioneering property in Provence, northeast of Marseille and due east of Aix-en-Provence, so it's very Mediterranean. Mm. Over the years, they have transformed this stunning 46-hectare site into one of the top wine estates in southern France. Bingo, right? It's organically farmed. This is Saint-Saul, blended with Grenache, Syrah, and Merlot, and there's probably a little bit of another grape, a white grape, in this wine, too.
And this retails for around $20.
Yeah. This one is not as sweet as the first one.
Well, the first one wasn't sweet, but it had a little bit more fruit.
But this one, I agree, the first one was more sweet than this one.
Yeah, not sweet.
What's the word? What's
sweet
the word?
Means a lot of residual sugar.
Okay, well,
fruity.
How would you say
it? It had more
it was fruity.
More open fruit, like, you know, fresh fruit.
So could you say this is more dry then?
Well, yeah, but they're both dry, but this is perhaps more dry.
But more dry means it's not as sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet is, again, is not a word you want to use with
this
a wine.
This is bone dry.
With a wine that doesn't have residual sugar.
Okay, the other
sweet
one was dry.
Sweet means
this is
a lot
bone
of residual
dry.
Sugar.
We're being educated on
wine
our wine description.
A wine can have no residual sugar and still taste fruity. Mm-hmm. Difference between fruity and sweet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then how would you describe that I think the other one tasted sweeter than this one?
Fruity. He just said that. Just he said fruity.
Listen to me. Listen with your ear, okay? I know you have the headphone, but you can hear me, right?
Okay, so how would you just define bone dry?
Bone dry is absolutely no residual sugar.
Okay.
And often bone dry wines will give you, you know, if you have, especially in a red, if there's a high tannin content, which comes from the skins of the grapes, gives you that puckery feeling. Tannin or a lot of mineral or salinity.
So, bone dry.
It tastes like a bone.
A bone dry.
A bone. Well, bone means good. In Francais, bone. We say bone. Wonderful. Good.
Well, Sam Pillsbury used that term over and over and over again. What? This is very bone dry.
Yeah, bone dry.
So I'm asking you, dry versus bone dry, what are we saying?
Well, even drier. And like I said, with probably a little bit more minerality, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Anyway, this is a lovely wine. And
this one is
coming
my favorite
as it does.
I definitely prefer this one.
Yeah. This is a more serious wine.
Yes.
This would be great with food.
And one was $10,
this wine,
and this
can,
one's
this
$20.
Is a pool. You can sit by the pool or wherever and drink this by the glass, no food. But this wine, you want something savory and tasty to eat with it. Like this nice cheese here, huh?
That's nice of cheese. You want some cheese, Chad?
I have enough. I'm good. Thanks.
Mm. Cheddar, you want some cheese?
No, it's okay.
Sometimes kids.
Are we just becoming a full-on wine podcast just every episode now? Just drink. That would be great, honestly, though.
In the wine
especially
room.
If we want to live to be...
You can change the name.
Especially if we want to be 74 and happy one day. We need wine as our...
In the wine room. In the wine room with Miss Green.
No, I love the name of our show, and we will continue to do wine every show, but we can still talk about other... amazing heroes and how people are saving the planet as we're drinking our wine.
Well, and
so this wine, again, can we reiterate what it's called? Because I love it, and I need a little more.
Troyen is the name. And again, you know, the two of the most famous winemakers in Burgundy.
Cheers.
You know, have collaborated and created this 46-hectare project in Provence, which is quite extraordinary.
Hectare, that's a big piece of...
A hectare. I forget how many acres. It's like 2.5 acres, a hectare. You know.
That's obviously more than a section.
Yeah, it's an actual, like an acre, but it's bigger than, it's called a hectare. They use the.
All right, I'm Googling it. Now, then we'll all know.
That's right. Thank you.
I learned
you
it
have
when
to
I was there,
that.
But I forget. But, they use a different system in France, which actually makes a lot more sense because, you know, you could tell a kilometer is 1,000 meters. I mean, it's all very, very, very.
So I have a question. What did you witness? How are the French very sustainable? How are they more eco-friendly?
Well, as I said,
how do they support the local?
You see, more and more vineyards, especially, and agriculture in general, is bio, as they say in France, bio or organic. And also, I think that green energy is they're a little bit further than we are.
Perhaps, definitely,
energy, you know, and I noticed that in Spain too, in the EU in general, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the other thing I loved about France: their health system is much more holistic.
Mm-hmm.
You go to
how so?
Well, for instance, you go to the pharmacy, and you know.
I want details.
They probably don't prescribe much fentanyl, I'm guessing.
No,
there you go.
You need a prescription. To get ibuprofen in France.
And that's how it should be. There's,
absolutely.
There's way too big of a dependency on...
It's not all this self-medicating.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a pharmacy and you actually have someone who will take all the time you want to discuss what you need and recommend things. I mean, it's amazing. So
it's more of a focus on wellness instead of healthcare, which is a really big difference.
It's the lifestyle.
Prevention. Preventative.
They eat healthy. Yeah. And, you know... so holistic medicine, you know, is common there. It's more, much more than here.
So I finally looked it up. A hectare is 10,000 square meters, and it's equal to 2.471 acres.
That's what I said, two and a half.
You're exactly right. Yeah. So everybody that wanted to know their conversion data, now you know.
So hold on. A hectare is 2 miles.
No, 2.7 acres. 2.47 acres.
It's an area.
Yeah.
2 acres.
Yeah.
Two and a half acres.
Two and a half acres.
An area, not a length.
Yeah. Okay, but 2.5 acres.
So that's what, when they were talking about vineyards, you have a hectare, not an acre. You talk about it in the area in terms of hectare, which is about 2.5 acres.
Bingo. Yeah, so theirs is about 150 acres, give or take.
And what are the wineries like there? I mean, what do you
experience? I did visit a couple of wineries while I was there. And again, you know, same thing in Spain. I noticed that there are wineries that are ultra-modern, you know, and just, you know, impressive. And then there are smaller wineries that, you know, are more traditional. Everything is done by hand, you know.
More charming, more plain.
Yeah. And some of the, you know, some of the really biodynamic wineries, you know, are gravity. They use gravity. There's no pumps, you know. Everything is done by gravity, so the
very sustainable. Yeah,
very sustainable. But you know, they really have a focus and on quality and innovation. Whether they're small or large, same thing in Spain. I was just amazed. And
so it's smaller production, higher quality.
Not always. I mean, there's many large. I mean, you go to Provence, there's vineyards everywhere. And a lot of these vineyards, you know, fuel the very large production wineries. But they're still, you know, they're just more and more are cutting back on the insecticides and the pesticides and all that stuff. And the same with the olive groves. You know, I went to the most amazing olive mill. I swear it was the best olive oil I ever had. And you know they're farming it organically, all these huge groves, and then people are bringing, it's great, people bring olives in from their own trees. My friends have like 4-5 olive trees in their yard. Everybody's got olives, so they bring their olives in, and you can they press them, and you will get a certain amount to take home, and they put the rest in the you know the oils that they're producing. That's fantastic.
Well, it really sounds like, Richard, you give your stamp of approval on people going and visiting France and getting a dose of this culture and this lifestyle, going and slowing down
Provence,
a little bit.
Especially Provence. But I've read about other areas of France that, you know, did have just the slower pace, the village life. Every morning I would get up and walk 1 mile to the patisserie and get my croissant for the day, you know, and walk home and then have breakfast with the fresh goat milk yogurt and fresh figs from the yard and this, you know, and my croissant. It's very civilized, dude. Very civilized.
I remember I ate crepes every day. I love crepes.
Yeah.
Obsessed. Yeah. That's like the one French food, you know, I could eat every day.
We use the word sustainable, but I call this a sustainable lifestyle. Okay?
Yeah. Well, that's what we love. Yeah. That's what we want to hear.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I think that you know, dedication to excellence that you're talking about that they have, that's something that, you know, we lose sight of a lot. You know, too many people are too focused on turning a quick buck or their profit or their bottom line, and they forget that dedication to excellence that makes things
great.
France
is also a capitalist country, but as most of Europe is, it's more socially democratic, you know. You have to understand, they've been around for thousands of years. Here's an interesting point about Provence, where I was, that area of Provence back in the 12th or 13th century. You know, there's been a lot of conflict in Europe, what is it now Europe, for thousands of years. I mean, the Romans coming into Gaul, you're creating Gaul, and but in the 12th, 13th century in this part of Provence, the Catholics burned out the Protestants.
Wow.
Every village that had a Protestant church, they burnt the church, they burnt the houses, they burnt the fields. Total annihilation, total destructions.
Okay, so could we try the the next wine?
Yeah, let's try the next one. Rouge, La Rouge.
Perfect.
Here we go. This is another fantastic wine with a wonderful pedigree.
Okay.
And it's also organic. Don't panic. It's organic.
And this one is the most expensive one that we purchased.
Well, it's under $30 still, but still, yeah.
Yeah, this one's 30.
Oh, I need the
cup. The first one was 10, the second one was 20, and this one is 30.
Thank
so we'll
you.
See, you know, what tastes the best.
And I'll tell you a little bit about this wine. But as I was saying, that's nice. You know, another thing about being in a place like Provence is the history. It everywhere you go, you see the history. You know, you walk through these ancient villages and, you know, 12th, 13th century, and it's, oh my God, you just, you breathe it in. It's amazing.
I mean, this just is exquisite.
It's nice, isn't it? Let me tell you a little about this wine.
Oh, my goodness. It's so yummy.
Okay, this is from one of my favorite importers called North Berkeley Imports in Berkeley, California. Good to know what great importers are, because when you're in a wine shop and you say, oh, this is North Berkeley, because they have a lot of really great small wineries. Anything you buy that's got North Berkeley Imports on, you know it's going to be a great wine.
Okay.
So this is also organic. And then when
North Berkeley.
Here's a little, this is called Mas de Gourgonnière. When people talk seriously about natural wines, Mas de Gourgonnière's organic wines are at the top of the list. Since the 18th century, the Cartier family has worked the land in Provence, providing the local abbey with freshly grown fruits, vegetables, and grain. They also were one of the first certified organic estates in Provence in the early 1970s. Here you'll find a direct, unadulterated connection between the land and each bottle. Flowering rosemary, wild sage, and juniper, plus the mountain freshness of the regional Mistral, are all echoed in the estate's wines. This is a vine-growing family that doesn't have to sell a natural philosophy, however. It's simply who they are and who they've always been. So that's that's the beauty of this wine.
And can we see what the bottle looks like?
The bottle, yes.
Is it very nice?
And it's interesting, too, because this is a the shape of this bottle is called a Calvados bottle. Like you would find Calvados, the liqueur, the apple liqueur in. It's a very unusual bottle and very historic.
How do we pronounce it?
Richard, I'll need your help
Mas de Gourgonnière.
De Gourgonnière. I'm going to need your help with descriptive words again. But this one.
Well, let me tell you first of all, this is a blend of 56% Grenache, 22 Cabernet, 12 Syrah, and 10 Carignan. So all Rhone varietals except for the Cabernet, which is a Bordeaux varietal. The vineyards are surrounded by pine trees and the natural scrub, the Garrigue of the South. Soils are a mix of deep composed granite and limestone, very rocky and dry. The estate makes its own compost from cow sheep manure and plows between vineyard rows. Beneficial herbs are planted to control pests and moderate vine growth. Age of vines in this wine, 20 to 30 years, so very mature vines. I mean, it's just gorgeous, gorgeous wine.
And it does say organically grown on the bottle.
And it does,
It does say organically grown.
You know, this wine is only 13% alcohol. It's not a big 14, 5, 15% alcohol wine. So, again, this is a wonderful food wine. This is what you want to eat with some marvelous, anything from a roast chicken to duck or you know, beef.
That lower alcohol content, one of the words I was going to use to describe it, that's kind of subtle and you know, kind of mild, you know, it's not very
it's not a big in your face wine.
Yeah, but I like that. I like
plenty
that.
Plenty of nuance here. And then when you have this with food, they're just going to complement each other beautifully. So this one, I'm eating the Comté, the raw milk, it's a harder cheese, raw milk Comté French cheese with this wine.
Okay, so Chet, here's a piece of Comté.
I already have it.
Colin, Comté.
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 Comté. Comté.
Comté.
Oui.
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 Comté. And that's what you're supposed to have with the red wine.
Beautiful.
The red wine.
Very savory cheese.
Here we go.
So far, I think the second wine, the rosé, was my favorite. That was the
Le Truyen. Oh, marvelous.
That was still my favorite, I would say.
My favorite are these last two.
Alright, well, you need to narrow it down to one to pick a favorite. That's how that works.
Forget favorites. Who needs favorites? This is such a typical American thing. I disapprove.
I'm just saying, if I was going to go buy a bottle right now, which one I would walk to first
in the store.
I think they're all good. I'm not saying.
Okay,
sweet.
Yeah, if I had to choose one,
I like all wine. I may prefer over the other, but
it's like if you're going to
get no, I agree, Richard.
Pick one woman.
Apples and oranges, you know.
Well, no, I think Richard makes a good point. There is too much emphasis on competition sometimes here, and you can enjoy everything. Yeah. I was just saying.
Not really. If you're going to buy a house, you pick one house. If you're going to settle down with someone, you pick one girl.
Not everybody. Some people buy two houses and have three girls. So that's a pretty bad point.
Yeah. Anyway, never mind.
This has been a really fun episode so far, Richard. We always love having you in the green room. Cheers.
Yeah. I love being here, you know?
Cheers.
Oh, that's better.
Lately now, there you go. You might have had a broken glass in here earlier.
Maybe. So anyway, you know, this is, as I say, 70% of the wine production in Provence is rosé. But this is a beautiful example.
Now, I did not know that, but that makes sense.
70%.
When I did go to Trader Joe's, we knew we were going to buy a couple wines from tiny little local wine shops because it's nice to support the local and that's more sustainable. But we also knew we were going to get something at Trader Joe's, and at Trader Joe's, they did have many rosés from Provence. And the lady from, her name was Dale at Trader Joe's, she said that she called the corporate, and she said they have a lot of rosés from Provence because mainly it's mostly rosés.
And interestingly, priced from like $7 to about $20, even a little over $20 for the most expensive rosés, like that one that's Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's rosé from Provence, you know.
What is that one called?
It smells like an armpit. I don't know.
Called,
that was funny.
No, it's called something Whispering Angel.
I love that one. I think it's actually delicious.
It's very popular. It's
very good.
It's overpriced, in my opinion.
Yeah, why not support a true French winery, too? Why put that money
in? Well, it is a true French winery, but it has to be owned by a couple of movie stars.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. I'd rather...
Whispering Angel.
I'd rather put my support with my dollars to, you know, a true local brand that wasn't just bought by Hollywood.
I'm sorry. If Brad Pitt owns it, I want to give him my money.
You want Brad's Pitt?
Yes. Uh-huh. For sure.
No, yeah. It's a real Provence rosé, but again, it's marketing. Marketing.
I don't want his pit. I want his spit.
It's like, you know. Anyway.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
We're good. You keep almost breaking glasses in here. So,
Colin, let's do a little cheers.
Careful now.
Oh, Colin needs some more.
Oh, yes.
So is this the last one we're trying then?
Yeah, we have three wines today. Two rosés, which I thought was interesting because they're quite different, as you noticed.
Oh, very different, yes.
And extremely different.
And this beautiful, beautiful red blend.
Oh, this red blend is one of my favorite stunning, delicious wines I've ever tried. I love it.
The Tien... you can't get it at Trader Joe's, or did you get that at Trader Joe's? The second rosé, the Tien?
No, the first one. The Tien is not at Trader Joe's.
Okay, where did you get that one?
We got
one?
This. We happened to get this at this new place we were talking about earlier, this wonderful place called Faraway Wines and Provisions. Mm-hmm. It's owned by a couple of people I've known in the wine industry here in Phoenix for decades. And
Pat, and what's the guy's name?
Chris French.
Chris
See,
French
great
and
to support
Pat.
Little
and Pat
shots.
Pat Jasmine.
Like that.
Pat Jasmine. Yes.
And then this we got from my good friend Todd Sawyer at Atlas Wines.
Atlas Wines.
Atlas Bistro, which is a bring your own bottle wine shop. This is their 20th season. This place is amazing. They've had so many incredible chefs there over the years who've gone on to do other things. But
well, it's a restaurant and a wine store, and they're next door to each other.
But it's a bring your own bottle restaurant, and the food is 5-star. You know,
it's like $100.
It's a $95 now. It used to be a $65 3-course menu. Now it's a $95 5-course prefix menu.
Wow.
Now here's the thing, though. The big wine geeks and the wine collectors in Phoenix, this is where they go and bring their $1,000 Burgundies and have this incredible food, you know. I mean, there are, you know, people who go through $10,000 worth of wine in an evening there.
Mm-hmm. And the food is like the top chefs in the world. And what's really cool, they're only open on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But you can really impress, like, your date because you
it's a very small,
walk in.
You know, there's only, like, 20 seats or something.
You have to have a reservation well in advance. And then you walk into the wine store, which is literally next door, and you pick out a wine. And, you know, you could get a wine, like, you know, that wine you liked was only – they sell it there for 20. And then you walk in and sit down and have your dinner. Now, if you go to a nice restaurant with – 5-star food like that, your wine bottle is going to be what?
Might be $100,
Or $200.
So when you bring your own wine there, though, you do a corkage fee, I think, which is $20, which is quite reasonable.
Yeah.
You know?
So especially for a place with that high quality of food. I really need to try this place.
You
it
do.
Sounds great.
You do.
No, it's a wonderful place. to eat and to, and you know,
Atlas Bistro.
If you don't bring your own wine, you can just buy the wine right there mm-hmm. at Atlas Brewery, which has an exceptional selection, very well curated selection of California wines, some Arizona wines.
What was the name of the guy that sold us the wine today?
Jacques.
And Jacques has his Bernese Mountain Dog with him at all times. It's really cute.
If you're listening to this, this should be your inspiration to go out and treat yourself. Go, whether it's at Atlas or getting a nice bottle of rosé. You know, it's one of the themes we've been trying to really talk about here in the green room and, you know, stay on top of is that people need to treat themselves and enjoy every day and,
and have that French leisurely life.
Yeah.
Of relaxing with the cheese and
the
wine.
Well, yeah, it's all about, you know, setting goals and accomplishing them every day and then rewarding yourself, treating yourself. So,
you're hiding it down there, I see.
You know, not enough people remember to enjoy every day. And, you know, we lose sight of that in the American culture, the American rat race. People forget. You got to slow down every day, enjoy yourself, and have a good one.
Well, again, this is you know, mm-hmm. the remarkable thing about Provence. The pace is certainly more, you know, conducive to a healthy lifestyle, mm-hmm. you know.
So, Richard, we only have 10 more minutes. We want to hear, you know, what were your favorite parts of the trip? And, you know, did you meet any interesting French people? What were your favorite sites that you went to go see?
Of course, I'm there with my friend Laurie and her husband Pascal, who's French. And, yeah, met a lot of interesting French people. Some of these were shopkeepers. We met the woman who owns the goat farm. You know, we met these other people, this couple who owns this amazing farm. They grow a lot of squash, and they have a fig orchard. And, just incredible. Here's the other interesting thing. We talk about stores like Costco here, but in Provence and all over Europe and mostly France and other countries too. I'm trying to remember the name. It's the hugest store I've ever seen. And Pascal, my friend Laurie's husband, has been working for these stores. He's just about to retire for many years. He's been a manager, general manager of these stores. And you walk in these places. I'm not exaggerating when, just as an example, the seafood counter is as big as, I mean, it's 100 feet long.
Wow.
All right?
Wow.
There's a row of rosés there. There's 100 feet long shelves stacked up. I mean, you've never seen so much bounty, so much fresh vegetables and all kinds of things. I mean, it's like Costco on steroids and so much better.
And all fresh and, you know, those local farms. Yeah. So it's way more quality.
There's 200-foot-long rows of yogurts.
Wow.
I mean, it's just mind-blowing, right? And even, you know, most of the villages have very small markets. And outside the village, there's near Loimaran, where we were staying, we're living, there's a kind of like a supermarket. It's much bigger. But even there, all local products and, you know, and mixed in with, you know, it's just.
And here in America, you'll be lucky to get two drive-thrus next to each other. So it's really nice to have that emphasis on local food and cuisine and culture. You know, I feel like we've really lost sight of that. You know, there's still culinary hotspots in the United States. You know, L.A. has some great, amazing restaurants and food. You know, Phoenix is actually a pretty underrated restaurant.
I still love America.
100%, but
not to love America.
I know, but you're making it sound like
that's not what we're talking about. We're talking.
I want to travel there, but I still want to live in America.
Well, good thing nobody said they want to move there. Well, actually, Richard said he might move there for 3 months or so. But
I would love to experience it for 3 months.
Yeah, but
why not?
What you're trying, you're getting all comparative again, which isn't what we're doing. We're talking about, you know, the part of their culture that is so beautiful and so amazing that they, you know, have that quest for excellence and appreciating every day.
We're talking about why are people healthier there and why is the lifestyle more sustainable?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, so he said there's 200-foot wall of different organic yogurts. I was trying to make a joke that the only thing you'll find here are two drive-thrus next to each other. But the only way for us to, the United States, to improve and, you know, get back to a more relaxed lifestyle and culture is by seeing how these other countries are doing it and taking note, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like Pillsbury wine. Like, little local wineries like that are going to bring back, well, here, you know, true quality.
Let's talk about the organic food movement. Now, this started, you know, I remember going to the original Whole Foods in Austin, Texas, in the mid-late 1980s. And now look at Whole Foods.
Massive.
So the organic food movement, well, first of all food used to be grown organically 100 years ago. But the organic food movement went from small little outposts of, you know, organic to now it's
mainstream.
Totally mainstream.
And for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Because right. Organic food and drinks and wine are way higher quality, way better for your health, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing that I still have an issue with is why should organic be so much more expensive than non-organic?
Well, it's not
any cheaper. It's not any more expensive to produce.
Can I say why? I can say if people stop buying the chemicals and everything that is not organic, well, the cost will, nobody will buy it, so then there'll be more organic.
Yeah.
So we just have to support just the organic.
And well, that's what mainstream. I was going to say, is the non-organic operations are able to bring their costs down because they're sacrificing quality. Instead of, you know, using organic pesticides that are more expensive and not as useful and effective, they'll use, you know, Roundup and other really toxic chemicals. And that brings the cost of the operation down. But at what cost? To sacrifice the health and wellness of your customers, that's not worth it. So, you know, I think
people are discovering that, and that's why.
That's why organic is mainstream.
That's right. Now,
exactly.
When you go to Costco,
people are starting to really care about their health.
If you go to Costco, I would say half the produce now is organic.
Here's
and it's because people are demanding it.
Yeah. So, in France, I was really impressed by, you know, the kind of holistic approach that they have to healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a huge difference in. You know, in people's...
Well, something that I've noticed when I've been in Europe in comparison to here in America, which I think is better over there, and it's how I was raised, and it's also how my kids have been raised, because my parents are from Europe, is they make a huge deal about the dinner, about sitting down and enjoying your dinner.
Yes.
And taking time and putting music on.
Bingo.
And having flowers, fresh flowers, and you know, making all that food from scratch and not being in a hurry when you eat your dinner.
Yeah.
That's in Europe, that's like number one.
That's civilized, okay?
Yes.
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 And to touch on Richard's point earlier, talking about how, you know, why is there such an obesity epidemic here and not in France? Even though France eats a lot of fatty foods. And a lot of that, not only the inactivity and lifestyle, but also processed foods. A lot of the fast food and processed junk food that people eat here, your body can't even process that and break it down. If the people in France are just eating, you know, organic butters and pastries and stuff that are made with high quality butters, it might be fatty, but your body can still digest that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Your body can't even digest McDonald's and all that crap.
Or corn syrup. Corn syrup is
McDonald's,
so bad for you.
They have McDonald's in France.
People probably just don't eat it every day.
I didn't see one in Provence, but certainly in the large cities like Paris. And let's face it, even in Europe, things are changing.
Wait, isn't it true that like corn syrup is not even allowed in a lot of the products in Europe?
Yeah.
And this sounds very strange, and I'm going to tell her to listen to this episode, but I actually met the daughter of the inventor of corn syrup. And her whole family, they're all retired now, and they all have lots of money, but she says that she feels guilty that they've actually like made a lot of people sick with that corn syrup that her dad invented. But anyway,
they've caused a lot of people a lot of feet.
Yes, a lot of the products in Europe, they don't allow a lot of those fake chemicals. Is that true?
Yeah, yes, there's many things that aren't allowed in Europe that are allowed here. Yeah.
Okay, well, I just realized we're about to run out of time, so we kind of have to wrap this up.
Oh, wow, where did the time go?
Well, one more thing I want to say, because on that same note of obesity versus, you know, people being fit and in shape, is when you take your time to enjoy your food and drink your wine and have your discussion and your flowers and the china, and you slow it down, you actually have the time to feel full. Because when you eat in a hurry,
you digest your food much better.
Exactly. Yeah. And people that are eating in a hurry and you're eating on the run and you're eating as you're driving, and you're not thinking.
You're socializing, connecting with other people in a real way.
Exactly.
I love it. It's an excellent point. Richard, it was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Chad.
Cheers. It was a lot of fun. Anybody that's listening, you should go visit France. Go visit Provence and...
Just travel.
Slow down
just
a little bit.
Just experience other cultures, you know?
And it's so good for you to grow your
and
mind.
And enjoy different wines.
Grow your soul.
Yes.
Yeah.
Saving the planet.
One show at a time.
One wine at a time.
And tune in to our next show about Spain with Richard.
Yeah, we'll do a Spain show, too.
A Spain show. Thank you.
Very fun.